The Spotlight. It's a radio show where volunteers share stories of inspiration, share their journey, express their feelings, and tell us all about those who have touched their lives. And we play their favorite music. It is The Spotlight, Fridays 2 to 3 p.m. on Radio Mariah.
Hello and welcome to The Spotlight. My name is Irene Lasu, and today we are spotlighting arson. Well, arson came from a traditional village in central Punjab, Pakistan, and in 2005, his family made a significant decision to migrate to Lahore seeking for better education opportunities. Well, despite financial challenges, his parents prioritized education over other comforts for their six children. And growing up with family expectations, their shift to Lahore changed the course of their lives and implanted in him a deep sense of responsibility. Well, Arson did engineering from one of the top universities in Pakistan, and he pursued his career as an engineer in 2015. Well, his parents' sacrifices fueled a dream to improve the family's lifestyle through education. And today, Arson works as a project manager in Kwajok here in South Sudan, overseeing projects within the UNMISS camp and leading to a quick impact projects in local communities. Well, Arson, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the detailed introduction about me.
Right. Well, on The Spotlight, we get the opportunity to hear your stories from different UN volunteers. And it's such an honor to have you on the program. Firstly, you came to South Sudan. What was the feeling like the first day you arrived here?
The first day, everyone else, I'm from Pakistan, so we don't know much about the South Sudan, their culture, and the things going in South Sudan. So first we had to read all about the South Sudan. So when I came here, the first day, I was all lost. I don't know where to go. We were kept in the hotel. So the first thing, I was excited that I'm going to work as a UN volunteer, international volunteer. I'm going to do something for the people of South Sudan.
Right.
So that was the motivation that kept me going, even though I was lost. So the motivation kept me going to do my best.
Mm-hmm.
So with the time, I find people here, good friends. So they also kept me motivating to do my stuff. I'm best in.
Mm.
So that's how it goes.
Right. So how long have you been here?
It's been, I arrived here in September 2022. So it's been 1 year and 2 months.
Okay. 1 year and 2 months already. What are some of the recollections that you have?
I have a lot of memories in this 1 year, especially I'm working in Kwajok. So the people kept on checking out, especially when we make friends at the work. And they kept on checking out. So the best thing is we have multinational cultures working with us. And the people from different countries, different religious backgrounds, different ethical backgrounds. When we work together, we learn from different cultures. So this is the biggest thing I have gained so
right.
far.
Right. And of course, you coming from Pakistan, I would imagine there's a void of your family. I mean, you being separated from your family, how does the absence of your family affect you while you're here?
Just like because we have the South Asian countries have a different connection with the families if you compare with the few other European countries.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, family comes first. Even our brothers and sisters and so the parents are actually very important in our lives. So when I came here, the first 3 months were tough because I was not used to stay away from my family,
right.
especially my parents.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I call them every day, but still I used to miss them. First 3 months were tough. And after that, slowly I have find some hobbies in Kwajok.
Mm-hmm.
I play sports. I keep myself, I try to keep myself fit. And during that, I release a lot of stress from my mind when I go for running or jogging. So this is how we are managing its mission. So yeah, the void for the family we cannot fill, but we try to do our best.
Right. So is this your first volunteer job?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what survivor skills? I mean, you're in Kwajok. Have you that have you adopted or acquired that help you go through? I mean, you speak about how you've been able to positively distract yourself by engaging in sporting activities. So what other?
If you visit Kwajok, it's a small camp with a few people with very limited resources. They're doing a great job, especially the UNPOL military and the kind of patrols they're doing every day. So they're doing great with very limited resources. So in Kwajok, what I'm doing other than the sports is the best thing for me is to meeting people, making friends. So I'm a kind of a guy who always likes to talk to the people, likes to ask them about their families, their cultures, if they need anything, because in the first 3 months, I really needed someone to be around with me because I was not feeling good. And obviously, I was away from the family for the first time. So, yes, I do play sports in the evening, every evening. If I'm not going to play, I will make sure I find someone to go for a walk, maybe. Or, yes, making friends is something that's keeping me distracted from all those negative vibes.
Right. So what advice, or from those skills, what advice would you give to someone who is looking forward to becoming a volunteer?
For me, this 1 year and 2 months, apart from all the challenges, I would say this has been one of the best time of my life in terms of the learning, in terms of my personal growth, in terms of the so many things apart from the challenges. This has been the best 1 year of my life, I would say, because I see myself, I'm growing up with the skills, I'm growing up with the mentally, I'm growing up, I'm learning about different cultures. And when we see good things in other cultures, you try to adopt them. And when you adopt, you go back home.
Right.
You try to adopt there.
So
I feel this 1 year has been great for me. For the upcoming UN volunteers, I would definitely suggest them to go for it.
Okay.
Don't think twice, even if it's South Sudan or any part of the world. Being a volunteer is great. Do go for it.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time. And we have come to a point where we will ask you to share your songs. What would your first song be?
Okay. Do you want me to sing?
Do you want to?
Okay, I will sing.
Okay, maybe just like a cappella, two lines maybe.
It's an old song. I sing when I feel alone.
Okay.
Lag ja gale ke phir ye सभी रात हो न हो शायद फिर इस जन्म में मुलाकात हो न हो लग जा गले.
Wow, I see you're drawn into the song. What does that mean?
It means come and hug me now, because we don't know if this night will come again, and we don't know if we will meet again. So this is the time.
Very powerful.
So don't let this time go.
And what's the title?
It's called Lag Ja Gale.
Okay, Lag Ja Gale it is. We'll be right back.
Lag Ja Gale के फिर ये हसी रात हो न हो शायद फिर इस जन्म मुलाकात हो न हो लग जा गले के फिर ये हसी रात हो जागले हे
Welcome back from that there. You're listening to The Spotlight and my name is Irene Lasu. And of course, we continue with The Spotlight and our spotlighter is Arslan. I hope I have that right. And we continue. Yes. How does the prospect of being a volunteer in often hard times, what people feel like South Sudan, firstly, with the climate, most of them say, well, this place is hotter than where they come from. So working in these parts of the world, what you would call probably harsh conditions, how have you been able to bring yourself to survive in such situations that do not relate to how it is at back home?
First thing, the weather, yes, it's hot, but I belongs to Lahore, the city. It's when in Lahore, sometimes the temperature goes around 45 in June and July.
Wow.
Degrees Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, temperature is not a problem. But yes, because South Sudan is near the equator, so we have a lot of sun here.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's a bit challenging, but for me, it's okay. And I hope other Pakistanis can also survive in this weather. Not
right.
A big issue for us.
Right.
But yes, other challenges. If we see, if you come to Kwajok, there are no roads, no infrastructure, no electricity for the people. So for us, because we are staying inside the UN compound, so for us the life is easy. But if you see the people of South Sudan, especially in Kwajok and all those fields, it's really challenging for them. I mean, every day in the morning, they hunt for the food. They don't know if they will get enough food till the evening. So these are the challenges. We all are trying to improve the lives of the people, especially with this UN mission.
Right.
Trying to keep the peace, because if we have peace, then we can do the other things like education and... UN is trying, we are trying, all the volunteers are trying our best to improve the people of lives of South Sudan. Let's hope how long it takes.
Indeed. Let's hope indeed. So this being your first volunteer job, What do you think are some of the contributions that you've had, things that you think that you have done and you've touched the communities that you would like to like point out? There can be two.
I would really want to share a story.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we did our QIPs, Quick Impact Project. Because mm-hmm. I'm a project manager, so I take care of all the projects which we do for the community outside. So we did many QIPs, but the project which touched my heart was the school, when we made constructed a new school
mm-hmm.
For the people of Kwajok. And I went when it was already constructed. We handed over to the government in Kwajok. And when after a few months, two, 3 months, mm-hmm. I went there to give the lectures to the students. And I was so happy to see a generation, almost more than 150 students mm-hmm. sitting in the classes, willing to learn, and their parents are hoping that one day they will grown up as an educated person,
right.
And they will improve their lives.
Uh-huh.
So that's something touched me, and I felt that, yes, I'm doing something for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Not me, but I'm contributing
right.
to something.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something special.
Right. And what specifically about that moment did you love about it?
Interaction with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I always love kids. I always love to see the motivated kids who wants to do something. So I kept on asking different questions from the kids about okay, what do you want to do when you grow up? This is a simple question, but when you hear different answers from the different kids and the laughs, this makes me like feel so good that I remember when I was a kid,
right.
I had like so many like small dreams, and when I hear from all those kids, it was amazing.
Wow.
It touched me.
Wow. So this volunteer job, particularly, are there people in your circle who have also been volunteers who have motivated you to also take the same journey?
Actually, I would love to thank one of my manager back home. His name is Ataullah, such a nice guy. He's always like a elder brother to me. He kept me motivating because he has been a volunteer before.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept me motivating and pushing me to apply for this opportunity. He kept sharing with me the opportunities. He made me to prepare myself for the interview.
Mm.
So I love him, and I really, I'm still thankful to him.
Wow. And I hope he catches this interview one day, one time. Well, thank
so.
You so much. What is your next song?
My next song is, because it's going December.
Mm.
So when I was a kid, I used to hear this song from Abrarul Haq.
Mm. Okay, so what does that mean?
It says, in Pakistan, the December is like wet. Mostly we have rain.
Right.
So he's saying it's a wet December.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm alone.
Oh, okay.
He's a student. He says, I cannot read. My heart is not... the reading, I'm not liking this reading books.
So
because I'm thinking about the woman. Like,
oh, no.
Like my love.
So he misses his love. His love is not next to him.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, this is The Spotlight. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
पेड़ के नीचे कुछ यादें गुनगुनाती हैं, कुछ प्यार के आधे नगमे आधी प्यार की कहानी, एक शहर का राजा और एक गांव की रानी, दोनों बड़े प्रेमी थे वन में आया करते थे, उनके प्यार के मीठे नगमे पंछी गाया करते थे, अब न प्रेमी है अपनी कमाई है, इन किताबों में भी नहीं लगता हमको सजनी की याद आई है, तेरा प्रेमी और कहाँ है सारे तेरा पूछेंगे, क्या बताऊंगा क्या कहानी है, अब तो किस्मत में अपनी जुदाई है, इन किताबों में भी नहीं लगता हमको सजनी की अपने अपने घर जाते हैं, कोई मुझे बतलाए मुझको ये क्यों तड़पाते हैं, मैंने भी एक सपना देखा था अपने घर का, खो ना जाए मेरा पंछी लेकिन मुझको डर था, मेरा ये अफसाना है सारा ये अफसाना है, मेरा पंछी रास्ता भूला पागल है अनजाना है,
yes, welcome back. This is The Spotlight. We continue with, getting to know Elsan, who is here with us from Pakistan, who is now working in Kojok in Anmis. We've heard about the fact that he's working with the communities there. And one of the memorable projects that he has had is when they went for a quick impact project and it was handed over to the communities. And he had a session with the children where he had to, teach them here and there. But he was struck by their enthusiasm for knowledge and their hunger for knowledge. That thing stood out for him. Yes. I like to ask this question to our guests, everyone, because this is just out of curiosity, and you love singing and I'm sure you also love reading books, but if you're stranded on a desert island, what luxury would you come with?
If I am stranded in an island, what luxury would I want? Cold water.
Okay, desert island, I get it. Me too. I mean, who wouldn't go with water? Okay, so, well, who have been some of the people? I know you mentioned one of them who motivated you into becoming a volunteer, but who in your life have been so influential?
I would say she's my mother. You know, I don't want to get any credit away from my father. He contributed equally.
Right.
But I would like to mention my mother because she has a goal. We were growing up in a village. In the village, the educational facilities were very limited. So in Pakistan, if you're in a village and you have to move from village to city, it's a big thing. It's a very big decision. So my mother was the one who motivated my father. I want my kids to get good education so I can see here with these facilities, they will get educated, but they will not go anywhere with this education because the level of education was not up to mark. So it was her goal. We were kids. We don't know at that time. It was her goal. And for me, she always had belief in me. She always used to say, we were six siblings. So she always used to have belief that this my son will do something when I was a kid. She used to say, having a car in the village was a big thing. Very few rich people used to have that. So when I was growing up, my mother used to say to me, one day you'll have a car when you'll come back to office. You'll come by a car. And that dream looks like a big thing. How can you even think?
It was far-fetched for you.
But she had a dream for us. Wow. And I really love her. She made our lives for all our siblings. She had a dream. She took hard yards, moving from village to the city, leaving our uncles back home. So my father supported all his hard dreams and goals, and he supported financially. So that's great. Now where I'm sitting, I can't believe that from where I started, and this is all because of the goal and dream my mother had for us.
Wow! Yeah. I would say good for you.
Yeah.
So, speaking about your parents, how have they been able to deal with your career, you having to move away from home?
I have been really attached to my parents. So, when I was moving away, my mother said, are you sure? Are you going to South Sudan? Because you'll be away from us. That was the biggest thing. I said, it will be better for me. If it's better for me, it's better for us because I'm connected to the family every second of my life. So if I'm going there, I'm not thinking about me only. It's my family who will grow with this. So yeah, I had to make a session with my parents to convince them yes, it will be good for us.
Right.
And still, whenever she calls, why don't you go to the family station and family duty station and we want to stay?
Yeah, she would want to stay with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Obviously, I want to stay her with me.
Okay.
I love her so much.
Right, right. So, yeah. So what would you have become if you hadn't walked down this land, the engineering and all these things?
I would have been nowhere near to a good lifestyle. Because for us, for the families, the middle-class families in Pakistan, the education is the only tool to survive and to have a good lifestyle for your families and for yourself. So, because to start a business, you need a capital. So, yeah, my father had enough. He used to earn a lot, but he spent all his money in the education for six siblings. So the universities are expensive. So he did great for us, but to start some business or something, we didn't have enough capital for that. So education was the only thing, and I chose engineering. I am so happy with that. So, yes, I was not an engineer, oh my God.
You just can't imagine your life.
Maybe I would have been selling the bananas.
Oh, dear. I am glad you took the decision. So looking back, you would say 50 out of 50, right?
Yeah.
Okay, congratulations.
Thanks.
So what is your next song?
My next song is When I Was a Kid. A guy very famous, Atif Aslam. He had his song, says, Ab to aadat si hai mujhko aise jeene mein.
To mean?
Yeah.
Meaning what?
It says, now I'm habitual of living like this. It's also a sad song.
Oh.
So he's saying now, because I see the different people, so I'm now habitual of living like this. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so let's just take a listen. I will be right back.
जीने में
अब तो आदत सी है मुझको.
Oh yes, welcome back. You're listening to The Spotlight. My name is Irene Lasso. And before we conclude, I am with Arslan. And Arslan came from a traditional village in central Punjab in Pakistan. And he's now working here with UNMISS. He is a project manager in Kwadjok in South Sudan, overseeing projects within the UNMISS camp and leading quick impact projects in local communities. And just before I let you go, how would you describe your relationship with the community that you work with? Do you have the time to go out and interact, apart from anyway, when you're handing over projects to them?
Yeah, we did some quick impact projects with the police.
Mm-hmm.
We made the cells, prisoner cells, and we improved their police stations. So yes, they have been lovely people. I would say I would say the people in South Sudan generally they are very nice, they are great.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is they lack the education. If UN,
yeah,
or somehow the government can help them to get good education, I'm sure this country will grow very fast because it has the potential. The people, they are hardworking. The women, especially,
yeah,
they're so hardworking,
yeah,
and they're motivated to groom themselves and to groom their families.
Right.
So this is something I feel this country has a bright future, but it will take time. Yeah.
Right. Well, Arslan, every guest on The Spotlight is given an opportunity to choose a book. So what kinds of books do you usually love to read?
I have been to religious books.
Oh.
So I love to study history.
Right.
So I would say Quran is the book that whenever I feel free, I have free time.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I read that, I love it.
Right.
So that's the book I'll go with.
Right. Okay. So apart from the Quran, usually when you go out for more activities in Kwadjok from Juba, what other things do you take with you to make your life easier there?
I love traveling.
Uh-huh.
So every R&R, I go somewhere. So I've been to like 9 different countries in 1 year.
Oh.
So I love traveling.
So every hour and hour you plan to go to a different country.
Yeah,
wow. Okay. I need to borrow a leaf there. Thank you so much for your time and thank you so much for letting us in on your story.
Thank you so much.
All right, yes.
It was great being with you.
Thank you. Well, that's The Spotlight for this week. My name is Irene Lasso and thank you so much for listening. Catch me again next week as we do another episode of this program. Bye-bye for now.